You're listening to The Blind Chick, an AfterSight original podcast. We're telling you stories about strength, overcoming hurdles, and living experiences. We see who you really are. Blindness can be an adventure. Are you ready for the journey of a lifetime? We are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Blind Chick. That's Moses Street.
And that's Penn Street.
Jack.
Oh my goodness. He's holding his coffee cup up to his mouth. Which when I told Moses a little bit earlier today, we need to get on and record our episode. He was just like, oh,
yeah.
He's still not awake. So
I'm convinced
just making excuses at a time.
I am convinced I have mono.
Oh.
Either that or a bad robot feeling.
I think you can only have mono when you're a teenager.
Oh yeah.
I don't think you get mono when you're
I'm an adult child.
Well, maybe so, that for you might count.
Maybe I can still get mono. No, it's got to be mono. If it's not mono, I've got no excuse for being tired.
But you have been pretty wiped out since Austin.
Yeah.
You were in Austin, so
it's hanging out with party animals and.
I know.
Yeah.
That Krista Webb, yeah. Orly, Gene, yeah. I think you did him in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually have, and then we'll get moving here, but it's cool because I got a text message from the ladies from Austin. I don't know if that's what they've named themselves, but we are planning what do they call that? A dude ranch trip for next summer. And it's all as blind chicks are going to get together and go on a trip to a dude ranch. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be sharing more about that as we get closer
to
that.
You could do like I used to do on the rooftop ride. At the end of the Estes Park tourist season, the town used to dry up, and all the guys would go on this. There'd be about 50 of us go on this horseback ride, and you'd go about 25 miles, stay at a dude ranch, and then you would
get drunk.
Yeah, pretty much. But they'd have a rodeo.
Oh,
and
like it was bulls and cows. And
no,
stuff?
No. Oh. It was a little safer.
Oh,
but that was yeah. So you guys doing rodeos, maybe some skeet shooting.
I do have to say,
barrel racing.
Always wanted to ride a bull. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I would have the guts to do it now, but that was my dream to grow up and be a cowgirl. And marry a cowboy, of course, but yeah. I could at least get half of that. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Me to be more like the little kids trying to stay on the back of a sheep.
The mutton buster.
Yeah, I'd be a mutton buster.
You would.
I'd be so good.
So he's waking up.
We're delirious.
We're
delirious.
This is the holiday season, though. We had Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was really fun. We spent it with family and friends. And, of course, the food, too much food. It was all delicious. And then Moses and I have a Thanksgiving tradition where we usually, not every year, but most years, we go to a movie after, you know, dinner's over. And so this year, we're not going to name any names, but Chance, we let him pick the movie, and it was Hammett, which...
And I really wanted to see it, too.
Yes, Moses did. I had no desire to see it, but when it comes to tradition, you just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And so when we got to the theater, I realized quickly we had pretty much the worst seats in the house. We were in the very back row, like... literally the back of the theater was at my back. So
Penn couldn't see anything on the screen.
I couldn't see anything. There was dialogue, but not a ton of dialogue. And so, but there was enough dialogue for me to realize pretty quickly it's going to be the saddest movie that we've all ever experienced. And so do you want to tell them, just don't give it away in case other people are going to go see it. But
yeah, for me, it's anybody who has experienced loss should go see the movie. And any kind of loss.
I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like you would be more depressed. You'd be re-traumatized.
Partially it was cathartic for me. Mm. It was kind of like, for anybody that's been through a divorce and there's children, you lose the right to raise your kids full time. And even though with us, the two daughters, it was very equally, evenly split, that kind of thing. But it's not the same. And no. So that film, how would you put it? It's kind of like sharing the experience and realizing, wait a minute, everybody has lost somebody. Everybody has that, because there's a crowd scene where everybody, I don't know how to do the film. I'm stumbling all over
this.
That's
okay. I mean, it basically is a story. It's a made up story because we don't really know that much about Shakespeare, or did he even truly exist?
Was it
multiple people who wrote the plays or whatever? So it's sort of a fantasized story about him in kind of his early to mid career, I would say.
Yeah, it was the early, Hamlet put him on the map.
Yes, and that's the other thing. Was the play called Hamlet or Hamlet? And they're used interchangeably, I guess.
Right.
But it's so depressing. I'm just saying, it's so depressing.
But it was, this is just a tidbit, because the Shakespeare controversy did a bunch of people write it and just put it under the heading of Shakespeare, because the Civil War photographer that everybody, Matthew Brady, everybody thought that he had photographed the whole Civil War, this one guy with maybe a couple helpers. Mm-hmm. Not only did he not do that, he was the greatest photographer of that period. If you were anybody before the Civil War, you went to Matthew, and after the Civil War, you went to Matthew Brady to do your portrait. He was the go-to guy. Right. But something like at least 20 different photographers photographed the Civil War, and Matthew Brady was almost blind during the Civil War.
Oh, that's right. I remember hearing.
Yeah, and he was a showman, and he would show up at all the big events like Gettysburg and that kind of thing. And he had a helper to set up the camera for him, because they're using, 4x5, 11x14 cameras, which I've used those cameras. In fact, most of my early career was 4x5. And it takes, it is a dramatically different
way of
shooting.
So his helper would focus the camera.
Yeah, and set up the composition, and then he'd
just click the button.
Well, I'm sure he did it very dramatically.
Kind of like somebody else I know.
Yeah.
I do want, Moses was not feeling well, but we had tickets to a performance. And I really want to give a shout out to this little theater in Golden, Colorado. It's called Miner's Alley. And it's not a very big theater, but it's so sweet. And I went with some really good friends, Chance at Hammett, and my friend
Jen.
Yeah, my friend and coworker Jennifer, who works here at Aftersight. And it was the most sweetest thing ever. Complete opposite of Hammett. It was my favorite Christmas movie is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. And it was the play was the radio show of the movie before it became a movie, because it was a radio show before they actually, you know, made a movie out of it. And so the stage, they let me have a tactile tour and I got to feel everything, like all the noisemakers. And
when they came up, Penn, like so many people with low vision, having a really good memory, Penn basically described the whole thing to me. So I feel like I was there.
Yeah. I mean, it really was super impactful for me.
But they came up to her and got her and said, do you want to do a tour? It wasn't like.
Exactly. It wasn't planned or anything. But I did find out, though, that like not a lot, not a ton of theaters, but there are quite a few that will do a tactile tour on a specific show. Or at a specific time, as well as do audio description, which I didn't know they even did audio description. So that's exciting because I really, really liked the theater, the staff, and just everything. But it was so sweet because the whole stage was set up like a 1940s radio station. And then when the actors came in, they were all dressed like they were in 1940s. And it was just incredible. And the woman that gave me the tactile tour, she gave me some kind of some inside tips too, that the actors were going to do that weren't audible. They were just visual, like how they like looked at each other and flirted with each other and stuff like that. The staff was just amazing. So if you are ever anywhere near Golden, Colorado, check out the Miners Alley Theater. And whatever will be playing there will be amazing. And it was so cool. And Moses and I, you know, we are going into the crazy, crazy holiday season.
Yeah.
We try really hard to do things during the holiday, not just pile a bunch of gifts under the tree for each other. We actually try to go to films or theater or
right.
Different holiday activities versus.
And gifts tend to be things to do.
Yes.
So movie tickets, theater tickets, concert tickets,
camping trips.
Camping trips.
Like we plan other trips.
Yeah, and climbing gyms.
Except I do have to say, gifts are my love language, part of my love language. I love giving gifts. I love people opening gifts. I love receiving gifts.
And I'm the reverse.
Nothing. There have been a lot of empty stockings in my past. I want to point that out again and again. And that might even be on Moses's tombstone. How many empty stockings that I have. So, but
And she's not exaggerating. I am horrible. I get physically ill Christmas shopping.
Any shopping.
Any shopping.
I'm sorry. I'll point out this birthday last year. So many of you out there sent me birthday cards. Like it was amazing. Like, we requested it, and you guys came through. It was really super emotional for me that I got so many birthday cards in the mail. It was missing one, just one. A card would have been good from my husband sitting. No card, no nothing, even an ugly sweater or... Nothing. Like there was just nothing.
So the moral is that blindness for Penn is so minor that her actual burden to bear is me.
Yes, it actually is. It is. I do want to say I got a beautiful, beautiful voice message from Moscow, Russia, on Thanksgiving. And this just shows you, like, it doesn't have to be a physical thing. It just needs to be something. All you men out there, just try. I don't care if it's painful. I don't care. All you have to do is go into the freaking mall, walk up to the nearest salesperson and say, I need a gift for my wife or my girlfriend. That's all you have to do. They will help you. That's what they're there for. You can even say, I have $5 to spend. I have $50 to spend. I have $500, whatever it is. They will help you. You don't even have to do it. So it's the trying. That's important. So we're not going to talk about that anymore because I'm getting a little irky here.
Oksana, my ankles have been kicked 6 times just during that monologue.
Yes, under the desk. So Oksana in Russia, she called me on Thanksgiving morning just to wish me happy Thanksgiving. And that meant the world to me. Like, absolutely meant the world to me.
She is such a sweetheart.
She's such a sweetie. And they don't even celebrate Thanksgiving, obviously, in Russia. But it was just so sweet hearing her lovely voice. And so thank you, Oksana. I know you are, you were obviously a guest, which we're going to have you back on. You are, a true follower of the podcast. So thank you for that.
And it's why we want to hear from everybody.
Absolutely. We love getting your voicemails. We love emails.
Text.
Everything.
I'm text.
He's a text kind of guy. I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to last week's episode with Austin Serafin. If you have not listened to last week's episode, Austin has an amazing story and he's just super interesting. He worked in the corporate world. He still is a super ham radio, but he really tells his journey about how he got burnt out, completely burnt out. And it really physically, affected him. And he turned to Eastern medicine, Eastern philosophy, and really turned his life around and is in a much better place. But it was just such a treat.
And what we're going to be talking about, because we are slowly switching to Eastern medicine. And I'd have to say again, because in the first probably 20 years Penn and I were together, we had a Korean-trained acupuncturist, and he had the perfect, kung fu fighter name. His name was Hung Pao.
No, it's Pao Huang, just saying it now.
I've always called him Pao. Oh, okay. But it's still a good.
It is a good kung
this
fu name.
This guy could cure anything.
And if he couldn't cure it,
he was
honest about it. But he did alleviate some of the symptoms.
Everybody knows there is no cure for the common cold. Wrong.
Yeah.
Is being in a tourist town in a summer season, I could not get sick during the summer. But I would get a summer cold because I was working 100-hour weeks. And it would always just be a killer cold. And I'd wait till about the second or third day to be sure that it was really a cold and not just some crazy thing. Then I'd run down to Pow. And I would walk out an hour later, absolutely no cold, did not recur.
Yeah.
And it was just over.
Yeah.
And he did, he helped our daughter dramatically with scoliosis.
Yeah. He
helped our son-in-law with, I can never remember.
Ulcerative colitis, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, alleviated it tremendously, and he still uses the stuff. And sadly for us and everybody and his family in particular, Pao did pass away.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We are looking for another Pao.
Yeah, and I have found somebody I really, really like her, but it's not that instant like instant, like you walk out feeling healed.
Oh, kind of Penn had been in a hit and run. This is another one. And it's promoting the Eastern medicine. Penn had been in a hit and run. And I literally had to almost carry her into
I was the hit one. I wasn't the run one.
Yeah. And she was not driving. She was riding riding a bicycle, actually.
Yeah.
And a guy came out of nowhere and took off.
Splat.
But she was like this crippled up little old lady when we walked in, and that was about 2 hours. But when we walked out 2 hours later, it was as if nothing had happened to her. Nothing was wrong. And yes, she had a couple, you know, little things that still.
Well, and half of my face was a bruise. That kind of gave it away.
But. Yeah. But
yeah, it was
incredible.
And we could spend all day talking about how amazing he was. So that was really cool with Austin to get to talk about that. And even Orly a couple of weeks ago on the episode, that the live episode from Austin, talked about how she uses travel for healing. And we're going to have her on for a full episode in 2026. God, that sounds.
I'd rather have her for an episode.
Episode.
Ben never makes mistakes, so I always point them out.
Yes,
if and when.
I constantly make them. And then next week we have he's a gamer, a blind gamer, Gable Mead. He does other things too, but it's I'm not a big gamer. I didn't really grow up gaming because I couldn't see. But that has not stopped a lot of blind gamers. We've had a couple other blind gamers on, and it's really fascinating. And it was, Gable was just really, he's super sharp. He's young. I can't wait to hear more from him in a few years once his career really gets going.
And that's, going along with that, in fact, we should interview him about your old friend, that if you love to gamble at casinos and stuff, if a blind guy, especially if that blind guy is smart enough that
it could be a blind gal.
It could be a blind woman. and especially, though, if they have a friend with them to make sure the casino is not cheating them. You want to get off that table, especially if it's a blackjack table. You want to get off that table the minute they sit down, because they're going to clean the house.
Ron, I don't know, Ron, if you, hopefully you listen to the podcast, you better be, because you're one of my friends. we will not say his last name just in case, but Ron has actually been kicked out of some of the casinos in Las Vegas.
Because they can't beat him.
They can't beat him. And it's not that he counts cards. It's just, he has a really good memory. And he also knows math. He knows percentages. And he spent a lot of time trying to teach me. And when I was working with him, I did become a really decent blackjack player, but you really have, it's like anything, if you don't do it all the time, you kind of forget. But he knew all the percentages, like how many, you know, I don't know, cards have been played, how many are still in the deck, what cards have been played, what cards are still, like, he was just really amazing.
Yeah, we played penny five card poker with him. He would tell you, he's not, obviously he was 100%.
Yeah.
And so he's, but as he would deal to you, he'd tell you what card he was giving
you. And they were not brailled, I'm just saying.
Yeah, because some, they were not marked.
And he just knew.
Like, and then he'd tell you what your hand was. If you were going to win, you paused and he'd tell you what your hand was and how you won.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, and he made a living, a good living.
Yeah, he did make a really good living on it.
But we could.
Yeah, and So the holidays are coming up, and however you, or maybe you don't celebrate them, which that's fine too. I know Moses probably would wish
I cannot wait until January 4th because it will all be over. But it ends good because we're doing a family birthday.
Yeah, Moses's birthday is January 3rd. So I think it's ironic that he doesn't like holidays, and yet his birthday is like the bookend of the holiday season.
That could be what's wrong with me, which is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
this is going to be about a 10-hour podcast because of what's wrong
with
me.
But I do feel bad for people whose birthday falls pretty much, like my little sister, her birthday is November 28th, and so often it falls on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And so she never had, I mean, it's a whole other story why she never had birthday parties growing up, but none of us did. But she never, like, had birthday celebrations because it was always the week of Thanksgiving, you know? And who wants birthday cake and pizza and normal stuff you have on your birthday the day you are eating too much anyway of turkey and stuff? And then they've just had 3 months, you know, 2 to 3 months of holiday after holiday. Oh my gosh, now it's his birthday.
But it's it's primarily a big deal because I could care about birthdays. Although I was in absolute shock that when I hit my 30th birthday that I had lived that long because of a wild, and I used to call it misspent youth until I was talking to this one big Hollywood producer, and he goes, I never had a misspent youth. I had more fun than was legal. And so I guess I did not have a misspent youth.
No.
It was so fun. But the birthday's the top of it. But to jump into the last part of our conversation is Penn leading to the dark humor joke that when you lose your sight, it would be really nice if that's all that happened. Okay, you just went blind, you know, and you had that horrible
trauma. Some people might disagree with you.
Yeah, but there's generally, when you see a disabled person, there are so many things wrong. And so for Penn, blindness is huge, but minor compared to everything else that's wrong with her. And, well, like when we met, nobody expected her to live to 30. And I thought, okay, I'm going to outlive this young hot chick. But I have perfect health, rarely get sick. Never, even though I've been in every kind of sports accident you can imagine, I've never been hurt, never broke anything, never got, you know, I just don't get sick.
I know, that's perfect so weird health to me that you've never broken a bone.
Like, I know.
That's so weird.
Because I've taken some
Didn't you break your nose once? I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, it's the only thing that's out there to get broken.
Yeah. But yeah,
I got a large nose.
Yeah.
Jimmy Durante was my hero. That ain't no banana. But
yes, I am very familiar with the medical world, unfortunately.
But currently, so this birthday, I'm going to be 78. And so for the very first time the last month or so, I'm feeling the effects of old age. And literally, it's bragging. But up to now, there's no sport that I ever did in my life that I can't still do. I'm in real good physical shape. I can still hike 14ers, climb 14ers, still hike, still bike ride, still surf, still backcountry
really
ski, anything I wanted to do. And so all
Which
of a sudden.
Which most people can't say that even in their 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. And I even, if anybody wants to go and scroll, I even did the ultimate brag of when somebody looks really muscular in a photo, it's lighting. Yeah, because you can be in really good shape and somebody will take a picture of you and it shows nothing. But if you light it right, you're ripped. So about a year ago, I posted me and it looks like a really old Bruce Lee, totally ripped. But in this last month, I'm starting to feel the effects. My eyesight's getting worse, which
I think it's never
been an issue.
I think it's been more than a month, but I know that it has hit you.
Yeah.
This last month. Like I've been noticing even the last few years, like Moses never stumbled ever. He never slipped. He never fell. He's just super graceful, light on his feet.
If I was in a bike accident, I'd roll right out of it.
He would.
Back on my feet.
Yeah. The other person that was involved was in the emergency room, right? But yeah. Moses, he bounced. He rolled.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, it's been weird watching you like stumble, like when you like for hiking, like you would stumble on a tree branch, and I'd be like, "What?" Like even our daughters were like, "Oh my gosh," you know, because you just never
like
or slip on ice.
Hopping across rivers was just fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Never went into a river hopping.
So, but the last few years, like, we've noticed you've stumbled and stuff, but.
I joke that my garden is my summer gym.
Yeah.
Because it's a large fruit garden and takes a ton of work.
But I don't know what's worse.
I'll even trip and catch myself on that.
Yeah, on the raspberry bush.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's worse, like have 70 plus years.
Oh, I'm not complaining
about
that.
Of nothing. And then all of a sudden, like everything's falling apart. I guess I would rather have that too. Cause I've been falling apart since I was 9 years old. And but with me, it's just normal. If I go in and they're like, oh my gosh, you're going to have to go in for an MRI because this doesn't look normal. Yeah. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Where with Moses recently, they said, well, you need to go in and get an MRI because this doesn't look normal. He's like, what?
What like, is that?
Yeah. Like it's, or like it drives you nuts. Like I've heard this a couple times recently. Like, you know, you're getting old when you have more doctors than you have friends. And Moses definitely is at that point. And
luckily, they have to turn into a friend or we find another doctor.
Do they know that?
Yeah.
But like, even the simple thing, like I know if I have an appointment coming up, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's the dentist, therapy, you know, gastroenterologist, it doesn't matter who it is, you're going to fill out paperwork and they send it to you ahead of time. And you fill it out on a portal, or they send it ahead of time and you have to print it out and fill it out. Or the old fashioned doctors, you got to wait till you get there and they hand it to you and you got to sit there and fill out, you know, a dozen pages. You do that every single time.
Right.
Well, Moses, he gets so frustrated because he's like, I just filled out these papers. And they're like, this is the first time we've seen you. So no, you haven't. And it's like, I guess
even Facebook and Instagram knows everything physically wrong with you.
That's true.
And but the friggin' doctors don't.
I know.
And even in my brain, I knew it was coming. And so I kind of just thought, okay, November we'll start on everything. And so for a lot of people, you're going to go, oh, poor baby, because it's to me that what I'm currently dealing with is just standard old age stuff. So the night blindness, the headlights are getting hard to drive with, and the hearing is going.
Cancer.
Yeah, it's prostate, and so far nobody has to send in any sympathy cards because.
What did your doctor say with the? Which I can't believe your doctor said this.
Oh, I love dark humor. So I love my prostate doctor.
He's called an oncologist. He's not your prostate doctor.
Oh, he goes. Now we're going to work with this. He goes, but he says something. He says where you're at right now. He says. You've easily got to 85, 86 without doing anything, at least at this moment. And he goes, he says, something else is going to kill you by the time you hit 85. And he goes, you don't want to live past 85 anyway, because I get all these men and women in here with cancer. And believe me, you do not want to live past 85.
And I disagree with that, because I know lots of people in their 90s and even past 100 that are loving life and are healthy and vibrant.
But they do tend to be women.
They do. Yeah, that is true. I think every single one
of them. Oh, and the one thing they have in common is they are very social, very active.
Yes.
Like I got to meet my photographic hero, George Harrell, mm-hmm. who was a Hollywood photographer, and we hung out in Beverly Hills for a day. And guy was just sharp, you know, and he's telling me all these great stories, like who was Mommy Dearest? The woman who was Mommy Dearest, he was crazy about.
Crawford? No.
But they might have had a fling.
Probably.
Yeah, because he just thought it was horrible that her daughter had written that book, and it wasn't until late. And I thought, I'm hanging out with a 60-year-old, okay, who's really energetic, really physically.
You thought George Harrell was 60?
Yeah, I was hanging out with him, because I
did. Because you were probably 30.
Yeah, I was in my 30s and didn't find out till later that at the time I was hanging out with him, he was 92.
Wow.
And he was still, that was the decade when he was 90 to 92 that he was photographing the beat Paul McCartney and Fleetwood Mac. And he was, his career was just taking off.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, though, I've read this, and I think it's a fact that you will live a longer, healthier life if you buy your wife Christmas presents and birthday presents. I think that's a fact.
That probably is a clue.
Yeah, I bet you George Harrell just showered his wife. Yeah, with Christmas presents.
Could be.
I think that was what it was.
And you can. This is another one, because we are looking for alternative medicine. But the movie Hamnet, going back to that, what it did for me is I'm sitting here going, I'm going through all this old age stuff, mm-hmm. you know, mental stuff. Like you, like they say, when you're about to die, your life flashes before you. Well, what they don't tell you is when you get old and you're not dying, your life does not flash before you, but it goes through your brain all day long. And it's a totally different story than what you thought it was mm-hmm. when you were originally going through it. And so after Hamnet, I thought, wait a minute, I love therapy. And so yesterday I went to my first therapy session.
Yay.
And lucked out. When you go to therapy, if you don't get an aha moment the first visit, unless the first visit's purely getting to know each other. But even this one was a get to know each other. We hit it off really well. He liked dark humor too. And so we made a lot of bad jokes about all my bad decisions. And, but if you don't have an aha moment, some kind of breakthrough by the second visit, be really nice, but, drop that therapist, get another therapist. And research all the different types of therapy there are.
We definitely are big fans of mental health. And
yeah,
I've noticed the change in you. I know it's only been a few days, but
yeah,
I think we all, Moses and I've been together for 38 years now, but you can't rely on your spouse for your mental health. And so I think it's important that you find other people to fulfill.
I was trying to grasp that. Are we going to have a big argument after this podcast?
No, we're not. No, we're not.
We don't do big arguments.
No, not anymore.
In fact, there was, because we're big on therapy. Penn's doing, we just call it going in for a touch-up.
Tune-up.
But to give you an idea, because Penn and I work on our relationship, and it's always been a thing that if one of us comes up that they see in the other person, you point it out, and then that person goes and gets a therapist. And we've never done couples therapy. I would be leery about that one. You each go to your own therapist. But a thing with the contractor happened. And an event threatens me and I can't grasp why the things are going sideways, I get really, really crazy upset. And it actually is a wonderful feeling, but not for anybody that's around you.
Nope.
And I stayed really, 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 really calm in the ordeal that I went through, because it does no good to yell at people. And then Penn comes home, and I know that I can't talk about anything or I will explode on her. She, of course, has nothing to do with this story outside of she's got to come home, and I'm there absolutely, totally insane. And so from all the work we've done with each other, it was as simple as she goes, you want to talk about it? And I go, it is absolutely impossible to talk about right now for me. And it would not be fair to be in a conversation with you now, because I would just be horrible. But I'll tell you when I'm over it in a day or two, and we'll talk about it. And that's what we did. There was no argument. There was no fighting. There was no ill feelings. Penn didn't have to feel crummy or guilty because, you know, we said. Then a couple days later, we sat down in our Archie and Edith Bunker chairs with our cup of coffee. We had the greatest 2-3 hour conversation with no arguing, no anger, nothing.
Because the fuel was gone.
Yeah. You wait till the fuel's over, and you're talking about it like you're talking about other people, you know. And we both have learned each other's triggers, so we don't use triggers on each other.
Yeah.
You know, like in that conversation, I did not bring up her birthday once.
Ha ha ha.
That was, but I would have that night that I was crazy.
Right.
And so. So if you're going through anything, get help.
And I think the holidays add fuel to that, right?
A lot.
Like, because they bring up maybe like, I know for me with my brother Tim not being here, you know, he was one of my favorite humans on the planet. He was my big brother, and it makes me sad that he's not here, because he always got me a birthday present and showered me at Christmas. But or maybe, you know, or like both my parents are gone, you know, like holidays can bring, even if you're having the best holiday in the world, but if it's triggering like missing people, or maybe you're alone for the first time, you know, we have a couple of friends this year that have gone through divorce this last year, and it's the first time they're going to be without their kiddos.
Yeah.
And so even if you have like supposedly the Hallmark Christmas, it can still trigger things. And so I think around the holidays, I think we all need to take extra care of ourselves and extra care of the people we do love. You know, give them an extra hug or give them a little bit more space when they're asking for it. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. The seasonal depression.
Yes.
And it's hitting me hard this year.
And it's hard to watch your loved one going through that, but you need to, or I feel I do. I try to respect that. And Moses does that too. He knows that it's a sad time for me because my brother's not here. And, you know, so we, you know, give each other space and be there when they need you, but it's okay to give them space when they don't. And it's also okay to say, you know, have you considered, you know, talking to your therapist about this? Because we definitely do that.
Yeah. So. And it, how would you put it? It's not a stigma. If you, I'll quit on this one, but it hit me. If it wasn't for Penn and I doing, when we first got together, every kind of therapy you could possibly imagine.
Some of it was even a little, little out there, I have to say.
Yeah. But anything like getting into a sport that you wouldn't normally get into is therapy.
Art therapy.
All the different things. But think about it. If you're physically ill, nobody's got any problem. Get to a doctor.
Right.
But mentally ill, it's the same friggin' thing.
Yeah.
You just have a head cold. Okay. And you can go to a doctor. And oftentimes, like the last time I went, I don't even remember what was bothering me. But I went like four times, and it was like cured, and whatever I was there for has not bothered me a minute since.
Yeah,
you know, and then the one big rule to remember with the holiday season, if you're seasonally depressed like me, is if your partner is really irritating to you, you have a problem, and it's not them.
Yeah.
There's something aggravating you, and you need a fight.
So I should shower myself with gifts this year. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Just pack that tree. We'll put the tree up on a pedestal so you can get more stuff under it.
Just kidding. But we both, Moses and I, we want to thank everybody, you know, regardless of what you're doing this year, we for the holidays, we really do appreciate all of you tuning in week after week and sharing the podcast with your friends and family and reaching out to us. We really, that to me is a gift. It's the best holiday gift ever. So,
Yeah.
And Moses and I talk about it a lot outside the podcast too, about how much we just really care about all of you all around the world. And it's just so sweet to us that our little craziness that we share with you week after week means something.
Yeah.
Because you guys mean a lot to us. So So we do wish you all a holiday filled with love and joy, and do whatever you need to take care of yourself.
Eggnog.
And you spike it however you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, reach out to us at contact@aftersight.org. If we're doing something that annoys you, go ahead and share it. We like those too. If we're doing something that you enjoy,
yeah,
share that. Again, it's contact@aftersight.org. I want to give a huge shout out to everybody at Aftersight who makes this podcast possible, because Moses and I absolutely could not do this without them. They do all the heavy lifting. They do the work.
Like, turn my computer on for me.
Exactly.
I'm still working on that one.
Yeah. Evan, thank you so much for making our mics work this morning. Yeah. Jonathan, thank you for editing out all of our I almost said hoo-haws. Foo-paws. Maybe you do edit out the hoo-haws too.
Arkansas came out.
Exactly. And definitely thank you, Kim Wardlow. You're the best director, the best leader of our motley crew that could possibly be. Thank you to our board. Thank you for supporting the work that we do in our community. And I do want
to... Thanks to the whole team. I'm just a entourage for the team. But we love the friendship that permeates this whole office. Everybody, we all like hanging out together. We all like doing stuff, you know.
It's a
family.
Where
can you work that everybody there is your friend?
It's a family.
Yeah.
And thank you all for supporting Aftersight during Colorado Gives Day. It's not too late to support us. If you got a few extra change or a lot of extra change that you would like to donate to Aftersight, we help all of Coloradoans who are blind and low vision, and we do it absolutely free of charge. We've been doing it for over 35 years, but all of you made Colorado Gives Day a success this year. And if you need a tax write-off, we're a 501c3, and you don't have to be in Colorado to make that happen. Just go to our website, aftersight.org, and hit the donate button. Every single dollar goes back into our community. So we love you guys, and don't forget to be kind to yourself this week and find a way to be kind to somebody else. It's good for your soul.
Yes. And I made it.
You made it. Okay, now you can go take your nap.
I'm going back to sleep.
All right.